life's gone down the drain. Your body's wrecked with pain. There's just one thing to blame. Dynamite in the brain.
It's episode 310 of Dynamite in the Brain. I'm Brian Smith, and over on the other end of the country, it's Anthony Askew.
Hello.
And this week we are joined by Leon Everett to talk the production IG / Adult Swim sequel TV series, Fooly Cooly Progressive, aka Fooly Cooly 2. Hello, Leon.
Howdy.
You have returned 8 years
I'm
later.
Back.
Is that how long? Oh, 8 years. That's crazy.
Since we last did a Fooly Cooly podcast. I think episode 15 or 16. Go back and check one of those episodes out. One of them will be about Fooly Cooly. I didn't go back and listen, so I don't know.
Those halcyon days.
How different we sounded then.
I didn't even rewatch that series in preparation for this.
No,
never mind re-listening.
I kind of wish I did about halfway through. or maybe I didn't. We'll get to that. Anyway, this is what Adult Swim said. As it was getting ready to debut in 2018. Fooly Cooly Progressive tells the story of 14-year-old Hidomi, her classmate Ide, and two otherworldly beings, Jinyu and Haruha Raharu, who are determined to unlock their hidden potential. Mixed up in all of this is an all-powerful force known as Atomsk, a gorgeous vintage car, and a certain Vespa scooter.
Oh, a big teaser.
It is. And I was watching the Crunchyroll version, which just went up a week or so ago. Do you guys watch the Crunchyroll one, or did you dig out through the evil powers of the internet the dub version?
I went Crunchy.
Oh, I did, but I did have the evil versions on the iPad from ages ago. And I was like, oh, if it's on Crunchyroll, I'll just be a good lad. That's what I did.
Righty ho.
Go to heaven now.
So, obviously we've established we all are familiar with the original Fooly Cooly. I think did we all really enjoy it? We have to double check with Anthony. Sometimes he's off base.
Well, I was on that thing where it was, when I first watched it, I was not really swept up. Whereas when we watched it 8 years ago, which probably would have been, I don't know, maybe 6 years after I originally seen it. Maybe, I don't know the timelines, but I liked it better, put it that way.
Okay.
Long story short, I liked it better in the present day of 8 years ago.
There was no Dead Leaves type rift between the three of us.
Oh no, that's still super overrated. Dead Leaves, it really is.
Not really it again.
It's just that's a different episode that's never going to get recorded because I never want to revisit Dead Leaves.
Yeah, because I had been like toying with the idea, like probably it was being around 2016. I was going to move it. The idea of redoing episodes we've done originally. I was like, yeah, we go Fooly Cooly. We'll do Fooly Cooly again. I'm sure there's other people who've got things to say about Fooly Cooly.
Yeah.
But we dawdled, and before we know it, they'd actually made two more Fooly Coolies.
I mean, to the day, literally episode 2 of that series was airing today last year.
Is that right? Wow. Okay.
It is 9th of June.
That was not planned in the slightest. So.
It was. That's why I pushed this episode back to this week. There was no pushing back of any episodes.
Okay. Yeah, so this is who's here from last time. Well, the original creator, Kazuya Tsurumaki, I believe he is back as overseeing... Yeah, he's the supervisor on this and the follow-up series. Well, follow-up series? The third Fooly Cooly series. Fooly Cooly Alternative. And then I think there's like bits and bobs here and there, but on this one, I think the only voice actor back is the guy playing the head of the bureau in this one. Is he played the guy with the eyebrows? No.
The other dude.
Yeah. The dad. Right. Who's the son of the one.
Eyebrows.
From the eyebrows guy, yes.
Yeah. Spoiler territory already? I mean, it's...
Well,
I like that.
I will say, actually, I think they spoiled it before we watched it. I think it was...
Oh, really?
I think... Well, no, I mean, it's not a very good show. It was already spoiled.
Oh, okay.
They left it out.
It's going to be one of those episodes.
They left it out in the sun too long. yes, I think that is, I think there's like a few animators here. Oh, the character design, the original character designs are again by Yoshiyuki Sadamoto, but then they've then been redesigned for the show by Shikashi Kubota. So they kind of don't resemble Sadamoto designs when you see them. Otherwise,
see, I can't recall how different they are.
They're pretty different.
From the likes of the original series. I haven't watched it so long, so I think it's a benefit that I haven't.
But don't you know Sadamoto looking designs off by when you see them normally? Like the Evangelion and...
Well... No, I guess I don't.
Yes, you
don't.
Okay. Actually, to be fair, I think apart from Gurren Lagann and Fooly Cooly, I'm not sure how many things... Gunbusters, but you didn't show up for one of those podcasts.
No, I loved Gunbuster. Gunbuster, but I never watched Die Buster.
Okay, yeah. Did Die
Buster
probably
more
well.
Like his designs.
Yeah.
In my head.
Yeah.
From what I'm
we'll probably get to Die Buster.
It's all about weird sunglasses, isn't it?
There's definitely weird sunglasses. I guess, yeah, that's probably the thing which carries over the most. In the character
big
designs.
Big frames.
Possibly that character, the new one, Jinyu.
Is very Die Buster person.
Yeah, I think that character
I don't know the character's name, I've never seen it. Have you seen Die Buster, Leon?
No.
Okay.
Well, if you're looking...
I've seen images, but yeah, I've not watched.
Have you seen Gunbuster?
Yes.
Well, if you're looking for a better sequel to Fooly Cooly than this, I recommend Die Buster. It's also a pretty good sequel to Gunbuster.
Well, is it though? Because I loved Gunbuster. And probably for reasons that... it's probably for aspects that I can't imagine them doing again in Die Buster. Because it's very serious, Gunbuster. And it looks a bit daft, Die Buster.
Is Gunbuster very serious? I think you're forgetting like the super deformed like science lesson bits.
Well,
it has a very serious ending.
That's what
you
resonates
remember.
Me.
Yeah,
because that's my. Like, I love that.
You're looking at it through nostalgia glasses.
I'm not though, because I'd never saw it originally. When did we do the podcast on that?
It was the one where I tricked you into watching TQ. Yes, we did Gunbuster and TQ on the same episode.
Don't let them trick you, Leon. Whatever you do, come away with this. Don't let it be. TQ.
Because I think we also were doing the first episode of Aim for the Ace, I think, as well.
God, million. I'm searching. I know we're off on a tangent already. 2005. No, that can't be right. So why did? So according to the timeline, Die Buster was before Gunbuster.
No. Gunbuster's 89. I think, if I remember.
No. I mean, when we recorded, when it was recorded on the podcast.
Well, yeah, we weren't recording podcasts in 2005.
No, I know. But what I mean is the Gunbuster episode came out in 2015. The Die Buster episode was in 2013.
Are you sure?
I've got the numbers. Okay. Yeah, I'm crunching the numbers here.
You said 2005. That was what threw me.
Did I say 2005? I'm always living in 2005. It's the best year. Golden year of cons in 2005. Yeah, but that's weird. Maybe it was a good thing I skipped the Die Buster episode then.
It might have been, yes.
Destiny. Anyway, go back to Sadamoto's designs. So if that's...
Yeah, but I don't see that much of them in what we see. In fact, weirdly, the thing it reminded me of in like immediately, I was like, oh, we were probably right to put Elf and Light in the... our Hall of Fame.
I get that, yeah, I didn't see it.
It's like the disintegrating body bit at the start.
Mm.
Mm.
Anyway, what did you think of this, Leon? What do you make of this overall?
Well, I think it's tricky because it's hard. I mean, it's basically a sequel, but it's hard to go in with a sort of unbiased mind, because as heard on the episode that we did for the first season, like, I love this show and I've watched the first season like a million times. So it's hard to go into this, and there's so much weight just behind things like the characters, the designs, the music, and knowing that a lot of that is going to be different. So going into it with as open a mind as possible, and sort of lowering expectations, not really expecting it to be like Fooly Cooly 2 or anything like that. It's odd, because I think there's a lot of strands in there that could have been their own really good show, but Progressive feels like it doesn't feel that progressive, and it feels like there's a lot of there's a lot of that, not the gang's all here syndrome, but there is a lot of remember you like this thing, so we're gonna make sure we mention that or show that. Remember you like this thing, so we're gonna bring that back. And I know it runs hollow. It's like a lot of the TV revivals we've got recently. I think the only good one has been Twin Peaks. Like the rest, where it's like so many years after the original, they lack heart and soul, and it doesn't feel like people are there to collect a check, even though they are. But it does feel like, did we really need this? Not really. So overall, like, I enjoyed it for what it was. I liked some of the new songs, like the Thank You Twilight one, which plays loads during Progressive.
Is that the one that plays at like the very beginning?
Yeah, it's like has like the beeps and it becomes
the
alarm clock.
Kinda.
Yeah. And one thing I missed from Progressive in comparison to the original is just it felt quite conservative and restrained in terms of the animation and like what they were willing to do. It didn't feel as adventurous as the original. And like if you're going to do anything with this series, I mean, that's like the strong point, isn't it? Like that would be the area where you'd go. You would, forgetting the story or anything like that, you would do some cool stuff with the animation. But it doesn't really. There's some cool sequences in there, but it does feel like not a rehash, but it does feel like we're retreading a lot of similar ground.
How about you, Anthony?
Well, it took me a while because I didn't know how this was kind of carrying on with the original. In terms of the canon aspect of it. So for a good couple of episodes, I was like, is this canon? Should this be acknowledged as important, or is it like just an alternate story within that universe? I didn't know how much, what's her name? What's her bloody name? Haruko. I didn't know how much she was the same one.
Well,
which I guess
she's
explained.
Not, that's the problem. Is
she's not.
She's not. She's neither the character nor the performer.
But she becomes the character at the end.
Yeah, but I think I wouldn't say so, because it's still not the performer. It's still not the same voice actress.
See, I always watch the original series dubbed anyway, English dub. So that, like, I can look beyond that and not kind of. That doesn't come into the factor at all. But anyway, I like this more than Leon, I think. Because although I enjoyed the original series, I never held it on such a high pedestal as those who loved it, which is fine, you know. If you love it, you love it. But I just really liked it. I never loved it. So I like this. I like this. I think it's because of Hidomi and Ide. I think they're the strongest aspect of it. I just like their interaction and the kind of characters they bring and the issues they have growing up and their families, I found that more interesting of a, as a way to progress the story than any of the crazy goings on with things coming out of people's heads and stuff like that. So I agree with it could have been a bit more free in what they were doing, like with the animation side, but that's, I didn't enjoy any of those aspects as much as I did just them kind of grown as characters, which I think they do a good job of. So yeah, I'm really positive with this. Really positive.
Right. Okay. So on the animation front, I think the problem he's got is that the original was an OVA and this is a TV show. And so it's working on a TV show's production schedule. And, but at the same time, I think they tried to simulate the original by having a different director do each episode.
Which I think you can tell.
Yeah, I think you can
especially
tell.
Especially the fifth one.
I think
one?
You can tell in the fourth and fifth episodes. I'm not sure you can tell anywhere else. which is annoying because the director of the sixth episode is a director I liked on other things. And I was looking forward to see him do this. And it was like, oh no, you just had to like mop everything up, with the story at the end as best you could. And regarding like its place in the canon, I wish they would have just shit or get off the pot. Because...
I've never heard that before.
Have you not? Because it's like, if you wanted, if you came here to see what happened since Fooly Cooly, you don't get to see that. You just get people occasionally allude to it and mention it in passing. But none of the characters from the original series are here. Not a single one.
Oh, whoa, the bird thing.
Yes, I guess a Tom's County's head. There you go. Half a Canty and a Tomsk. But
and was Canty just there for fans to be, oh, Canty?
No, they had...
This is great!
They did have an in-story reason for him to be there.
Yeah, it's more than just...
Which I did quite... The story-wise, I liked it halfway after the fourth episode onwards. I think it, like, picked itself up and dusted itself down. It helped that the episode four had got a lot of funny action, and then weirdly it gets going once the main character stops behaving like herself, and the show suddenly gets some energy. But yeah,
I think that's my episode four has one of my favourite moments, where it's Ide chasing Hidomi in the car, where she's like in the car and it's rolling off the iron. That's episode four, isn't it? Pretty sure it was.
Yes,
possibly
it
the
is.
End.
Yes.
I can't remember.
Yeah, that's when
that looked great.
Yeah, that's when. Yeah, that's because. The other good thing is that episode four has the Itano Circus sequence, and there'd been an earlier Itano Circus sequence in even one or two, which looked awful, but then they did it again in episode four, and it looked great. I was like, well, that's nice that I got to see a good one, but at the same time, why are you doing that twice within six episodes?
What sequence?
So it's like the missile chasing. It gets called Itano Circus Ichiro Itano.
Right.
So, you know, when there's like loads of missiles chasing at one target and they're dodging and weaving and the missiles follow.
See, I don't think I could get bored of that. I think I could watch them again and again.
Well,
and here's a question for you, for both of you, really. Did you watch this in one go or close to one go? All the way through that?
I watched it in two chunks of three.
Right. Leon?
All in one go.
Whoa!
Which is
I started this last week, like, and I just drip fed, and I think it helps to watch it like that.
Well, in Japan, it was released as movies, so you would have got them all in one go. So that is a legitimate way of watching it, just as watching it once a week. Of course, when I watched Fooly Cooly originally, it was with huge month gaps between whichever
month gap.
Well, it's because it was OVA.
Why?
So,
of course, right.
I was seeing them at conventions, so it was like, I think I saw like the first three maybe at Manami, and then I was just having to wait to the next convention to see if they've got another episode fansub. Well, not,
see,
actually,
I feel like
didn't have to be fansub because
too long.
The DVDs did have English subtitles on them.
did that hinder your enjoyment of that show?
No.
I know you're a big fan, but I don't know what...
Yeah, because it was the thing which kept me in anime, I think. Without that, I would have stopped going to anime conventions around 2000. That was the thing getting me there. It's like, well, at least there'll be another episode of Fooly Cooly I can watch.
I've just had deja vu. I've had deja vu of you saying
I'm
that.
I'm sure I've mentioned it before. I kind of wish they hadn't stuck to like the 6-episode format. And also I wish they hadn't done a sequel. I think they might have been better off doing a remake and expanding it across 24 episodes.
Oh, no. What, you mean remake the entirety, like the entire OVAs in like maybe the first half of the series and then...
Yeah, something like
expand.
That. Cause I think...
Oh, I don't know.
I seem to remember when Evangelion came along. I think that originally started out as being planned as a Gunbuster TV series.
Oh.
Obviously, lots of changes, and that may be entirely scurrilous and apocryphal. But I just wanted them, because when people were announcing it, people were like going, oh, you can't re, because it was announced like a reboot or a remake when it was first announced, rather than a sequel. And people were like, oh, you can't do that. It's a classic. And then I was pointing out, well, you do know that there was that big a gap between, or not even that big a gap between Devilman TV series and Devilman OVAs. So you're just seeing it because it's happened within your lifetime. It seems close, whereas actually, it's not really that close. And
that's a long time.
And we've seen like, oh, Devilman Crybaby was a great remake of Devilman.
Amazing. Yeah.
So I think, yeah, just you could have like taken the material and poked around with it and stretched it out, examined it more closely by spreading it over a TV series length. And with TV series writing, and then you could get away with TV series quality animation.
I think I'm happy with how... I agree there's a lot of stuff in 6 episodes with this. And I think... I don't usually do this, but I read episodic summaries after watching it all. And I think that really put in the pieces, that, you know, like filled the jigsaw. And I was like, oh, that makes more sense. But at the time, it is a bit... It's a bit messy at times.
Yeah.
I know that's to be expected, but it's messy in a way that I was like,
"But
I don't know why anybody's doing any of this for any reason other than just to get the end of the series."
Thing is, I kind of like the mess of like shows like these, but I think this suffers because it does like a lot. Things with like more compelling like situations or characters can usually the mess can pull you're pulled through the mess because you're attached to the characters. And I like the characters in Progressive fine, but not to the level where the mess was as enjoyable. But I didn't mind it that much. But it could have used some room to breathe, as Brian said.
Yeah, I think the difference is the first Fooly Cooly, you also couldn't tell what was really going on, but you didn't care because it was super cool. And it was more focused on being cool than making sense. Whereas I don't know what this was focused on. I think it like got too involved with its story and maybe cared about its characters too much and like had extra like there's more characters having storylines, I think, in this than there are in the original.
Oh, see, I like those additional, like Aiko, the rent-a-girlfriend character. I like her. Like arc, well, it's not really an arc as such, but I like what she brings to the show. I think she's a really interesting character.
I just think you could spend, you've only got 6 episodes. Do you need to be spending this on them rather than...
But her story and kind of link with the characters is only told across like a few scenes, really. She's pretty much like an NPC in the grand scheme, but I like what she brings. Even though she is just a background character.
So
the bigger role at the end.
The general manager of the project is Katsuhiro Motohiro, who's a Japanese film director, mainly live action, though he did have a anime out at the same time as Fooly Cooly.
What was it?
It was like a spin-off of his Space Travelers movie, if I remember correctly.
Okay.
He's also heavily involved in Psycho Pass of recent years.
The first year, or entirety?
I don't know if the entirety is, I think, up to the latest stuff, I think. I don't know if it was there to begin with. Because I don't pay that much attention to Psycho Pass. The only thing I've seen of his before is the live action film Summertime Machine Blues. About a club, like a university club in the summer, and they keep on using a time machine to try and fix their air conditioner. With, exceedingly, comedic results as it goes wrong, because they have to keep on obviously avoiding themselves when they go back to the past.
I love me some time travel.
Yeah, so he's in charge of this, and he's also in charge of Fooly Cooly Alternative. The script is by Hideito Iwai, who I believe was originally a theatre playwright, then moved into TV, but this is the only anime they've done.
Did they not do Alternative as well? Or?
They did Alternative as well, so.
Ah, right, okay.
Despite people telling me Alternative is much better, I'm like still wary. But I think the good thing about Alternative is it only has one director. And having watched a bit of the episode one of Alternative, I will say it does look a lot better than Progressive.
I'm really ready for it. I'm gung-ho with this. I'd have quite happily watched both seasons for this episode, especially once I got going with Progressive. I was like, oh, I kind of want a bit more.
Well,
yeah, I will say, because I watched Alternative. And
You have?
Yeah, I prefer it to Progressive for like several reasons, and I think it does some cool things visually, but also like thematically. So yeah, I definitely would recommend watching it and coming back.
Yeah, and it has the correct voice actress playing Haruko as well.
So what's the deal with that? What's with the swap of the actress?
I don't know.
Schedules or something?
It was to get over the fact the character split in two.
Still seems weird. Like, I didn't recognise initially that the hair colour was different.
Really?
Yeah, and I'm not Mr. Fooly Cooly. So I just watched it. I was like, oh, that's her from the first series with the... I was going to say the gun, with the guitar. So even at the end, when the hair goes back to being pink, I must have just glossed over it. And it was afterwards when I was reading summaries, and so I was like, oh, right. Because I didn't know it was even, I don't know if anybody would be fooled by it. But when you first saw her, did you think, the hair's different?
I did, because
did you?
I'm used to her hair being like pink. So when I saw her as blonde, I thought she looked... Because, you know, she's got, like, those orange eyes. So it looked weird to me. So I was like, oh, what's going on here?
Mm.
I thought they just restyled the character or something.
I don't think it occurred to me. But then I already knew it was different before I started watching. Because I'd already done my compare these two shows thing on an Anime News Network. Because I was curious as to who was coming back. And I was like, well, that's weird. I know there's a Haruka character in it. Why isn't that character... Why isn't she coming up as one of the people who's the same across both shows?
Here's a question for Alternative, without giving too much away. Does it continue on from this, or is it an alternative telling of something? Are the character roles flipped or something like that?
It's a different set of, like, kids.
Oh, right. In a different time? Like, is it in the future, or is it just non... Does it have no impact on the existing story?
I wouldn't say it's directly related to what happens in Progressive or what happens in the original, but it does feel like it's set a bit later. And the last thing I'll say is that, you can feel it's completing its sort of statement point, where like the first series, you got Naota, who's like 12, so all those kids are like in the Japanese version of elementary school, about to go to middle school. All the stuff that happens in the show happens during that sort of transitional time for them. And then Hidomi and her friends, they're in middle school, but then at the end of middle school before you jump off to high school. So, and then that's when all the weird stuff that's happening with them, like I think they are 14 or something. And then the characters in alternative are 17 at the end of high school. So like this, it's continuing that whole thing of, but it's a different point in their adolescence.
Yeah. That's pretty interesting.
Yeah, I think it probably
works better as a big trio series than it does as progressive on its own. I like that.
Maybe. Sorry, I think Diebuster works well as a Foodie Cooley sequel, because it's more about adolescence than actual puberty. Obviously, the first Foodie Cooley is about puberty.
Mm-hmm.
And then apparently every American cartoon for the past 15 years have been as well. Because that's the other big problem with this, is like it's come along, but the problem is there's like so many things which are influenced and are similar to Foolie Cooley now. It's like, is there a need for any more Foolie Cooley at this point, since you've had 10 seasons of Adventure Time?
Yeah, and you've got a lot of these creators like openly saying that they were inspired by Foolie Cooley. You almost get to that, like John Carter, not that bad, but you know, the John Carter problem, where by the time they're making that movie, as well as the movie being bad, but by the time they got to making that movie had already inspired like 50 years of fiction or something.
Yeah.
So like at that point, it all feels old hat just because everything's been like taken out.
Well, a century plus of fiction, I do believe in that case. I think the other problem is also, it's like the anthology, like having this one particular, like having the different directors, it's like, you've got to be a bit better than what they turned out, because Space Dandy existed. You kind of want something where you're feeling that there's a different director, and I think episode 5 is the only one where you go like, oh, this is notably different than the previous 4 episodes. Episode 4, you're like, oh, this is a better version of the previous 3 episodes. But 5 is the one which feels different. But if I had the time, while I quite liked the change in 5, it also felt like 5 was the one which was most deliberately aping shots from the original Foolie Cooley. But I did not have the time to go back and make a comparison, nor did I care about the show enough to want to do it either.
Is it 5 that has the manga scene as well?
Yes.
It does, but it's not. That was one thing I was like, yeah, that's not as good as when they did it originally. But it's kind of trying to be a different style of manga from what it is in the first series anyway, but it's still less impressive.
Yeah, there's never any moment where it feels like it's got the rhythm, the frantic cartoon rhythm of the original. I just found it a massive disappointment watching it.
Wow.
And that's the thing, there's just other elements, so like the pillows. I like the new stuff, like the aforementioned song, but some of it, especially when they play some of the older stuff, it feels like it lacks energy. It just doesn't. It feels like obligation almost, and I miss, because they didn't bring back Shinkichi Mitsumune, did they? So, and I really love his bits of music in the original 6 episodes. It was different in good ways, but I don't know. It felt like, I think alternative is going for is more successful than progressive, because that almost feels like it's something else set in this world, whereas progressive definitely feels like that sequel that's many many years late. But then it doesn't, it's like sequel in name really, and with like one or two characters, but like, it would have made more sense if it was just its own thing as well. So it was, like, it shackled itself in a weird way by being a sequel.
Yeah. It's like, we don't... Yeah, because the stuff, like, getting to see more of Medical Mechanica and more of the Bureau and more of the weird relationship between Haruko and Potomsk. It's like, but at the same time, it didn't really feel like we'd learned anything either, nor did was anybody asking those questions coming out of the first series.
See, that's interesting to say, is because that's the aspect I never thought I would be that bothered about. But I think by the end of Progressive, maybe it's because I was just invested because I just watched 6 episodes of the series, but I was kind of like, actually, maybe I do find it interesting what's on the inside of that kind of facility that they can get transported to with the mind, like sucking them in or spitting them out. I was like, maybe I do care. But with that said, by the end of the first series, I was like, I don't need to know.
Yeah. I mean,
so I guess I agree, but I was surprised in that I did kind of gravitate towards that aspect of the story.
There's lots of little bits that I think would work better in a better show. Because I quite like, the first 3 episodes I really didn't care for that much, but I did like the recurring bit that, what's our heroine's? Like, see, I can't remember any of these new characters' names.
Junyi.
No, Junyi? That's the...
Kidomi, sorry.
Yes.
I think she's a great character.
But the bit where she keeps on getting turned on every time she sees Ide getting beaten up was a recurring thing which kind of didn't go anywhere for the rest of the show.
I think I was really into the idea of, like, her father had gone away and she was living with, I don't even know if it's a real mother or not. I don't know whether that's a thing. And that they're kind of just having this cafe as a, let's keep what we're doing going in hope that when he returns, you know, everything can go back to normal to how it was. And her moving on from that, I just think that's a really good, like, growth of her character. To kind of, they're doing it for themselves now, because she wants to keep the cafe going, but not for the purpose of the father returning. She's happy in the life that she's now kind of reached, at the point in which she's reached in her life, she's happy with that. And I found that super interesting.
I think
she's a great character.
I thought that element was cool.
I like the side character. It's Marcus and, is it Maury as well? You know,
Goro, Maury, and then Marco.
Yeah, and I like Maury. What's the first name?
Goro.
Goro. That character doesn't, like, it dresses like a, like, kind of, like, non-gender conforming, like, fashion sense. And I was like, oh, that's quite interesting, because I don't know how does Japan react to that? Like, I don't know how, you know what I mean?
Well,
is it accepted out there?
Time, remember, this is being made for an American audience first.
Yeah, I guess so. But I just found that, like, an interesting thing to see.
This is...
And they don't, like, play it off as a joke or anything, which I think is a good...
Yeah.
This is the Big O season 2 of today.
Yeah.
That's interesting. But I like his character as well. And Marcus and Maury at the end of episode 3 say a great line when Hidomi is, like, you know what the show is like. There's been some crazy action sequence and they're kind of like on the ground, like battle torn or whatever. And they say something, I can't remember where it is now. And I'm hyping up this line, but it's like, if you look right there, that's adolescence. An example of adolescence, and they're like saying, I was like, oh, that's quite cool. But it's not cool enough for me to remember the lines. So. I just remember it being like a poignant moment from them looking in. Like, Marcus is single, Maury's trying to, like, you know, have a go with this rent a girlfriend to kind of impress his friends or kind of feel better about himself. And yet, Ide has these, like, essentially two women.
Yeah, it's funny with that. I got sucked into that bit. I think it's episode 3 where they're at the beach.
Yeah,
I remember having like feelings like, oh, that's quite nice that Goro has like this girlfriend or whatever. Like the moment I had that thought, it was the train scene was like pay up, and I was like, man, I got sucked in.
I felt so like, I guess he's happy in that kind of fake scenario, but I was like, oh.
I do like that all the things she gives people to make it that it's not renting a girlfriend.
Yeah.
Are all important pieces of equipment that Dan's relying on.
Because initially the plant pot, even when you find out that it's some important bit of equipment, I was like, but what does it actually do? And it was after reading that I realised it changed the pull up. Well, see, I find that I felt there was so much going on and me trying to piece together things, I would overlook something. And it was afterwards upon reading it, I was like, oh, that makes sense to change the polarity of it, either spitting something out on someone's head, sucking something in. I was like, oh, I feel like there's a lot of potential with that. And obviously it
goes. There's lots of moments that do recall things that I like about the first series. And I like the conceit of Aiko going back to her home and her dad and the other dude getting the room back in a thing so they don't show the layer type thing.
That's got a funny moment.
I find that stuff to be quite effective. I love a lot of the episode beginning dream sequences, quite cool, and especially one thing I think the first show did well, and you see some of it here, is the sort of silent insert shots, or when the music and all sound stops. There's a lot of that here and there, which works really well in the scenes that they happen, which I always quite like. So I remember that used to happen a lot with the first one, and you'd have a character had realized something, and then that's when you get the medical mechanica building ejecting all the steam, and then it would lead to possibly a battle or something like that. I thought there's lots of nice little touches like that where it slows down a bit, that this progressive has those here and there, and there's moments of all stuff in there that ends up getting bogged down just under the weight of everything that it puts upon itself.
Yeah, I agree. Speaking of the music and sound, actually, I don't know where it was, but there was times I felt the volume of the music was too quiet. It was there, and it was obvious it was there and being played, but I just felt the mixing was off. I felt it should have been a bit louder, and then in other scenes, it felt too loud. Was weird. The action scenes.
It's the same sound director as the original. That is one person.
Well, he needs to sort his act out, doesn't he?
Yeah, the weird thing, one thing which struck me as being weird, and I don't know whether this is because it's now just Production IG making it, not Gainax and Production IG, is the guy in the slums who tells everybody that they're a pro, they could go pro.
That's the eye patch dude, isn't it?
The guy with the eye patch. I was clearly, based on the way he's behaving and where they find him, he's clearly supposed to be Dampe from Ashton and Joe. But there is no attempt beyond the eye patch to make him look like him in the slightest. And I was like, is that just because Gainax aren't around to be that much of a fanboy and to put in the obvious visual references? Because character-wise, that is clearly who he's supposed to be. With the eye patch and the slums and the obsession with boxing. And he's a good gag. I just wonder if it would work better if he had buck teeth and a bald head. Yeah.
It's funny you bring him up because I'm watching Baki at the minute, and there's a character in Baki which looks just like him. A big, bald dude. He's a lot more scary than him. But anyway, it's funny you bring him up. That would have been better if it was a bit more...
Because I think going through it, I don't think there's anything obvious. This is a homage, because obviously in the first we got the South Park sequence, which blew my mind the first time I saw that.
Oh, I forgot about that.
and even I don't know whether the manga one is a specific reference or if it's just a stylistic one. But yeah, there's nothing like the Lupin references. Well, there's one Lupin reference. There was one Lupin reference, which kind of felt not so much a Lupin reference, but a reference to the Lupin references in the first series. yes, I don't, well, that's just because it's production IG only now, maybe. But there's not that sense of, terrible fanboyness happening at all times.
Who directed episode 2?
Let me see if I can tell you.
There's a reason for me question, because that episode, I think it's the only episode that does it. It does a great use of kind of lighting and like the luminosity of like, it has this big purple sky.
It is Toshihisa Kaya. And what else have they done?
Cool sky stuff. Nah, that, and I really wish they kept that up.
I don't know if animation director and character design on things.
Oh well, it was a good choice with the purple sky and the like that reflecting on the characters' faces.
Yeah, that might be the animation director. Let me see. That's the other problem I noticed is when you look on the Anime News Network listings, there are so many animation directors per episode, which again suggests scheduling issues.
Could have got me in for half an hour. I'd have done something cool.
That said, 2 only has one person listed, and that is Hideki Takahashi. Let me have, see what else they
I know them from anything.
Have done. Blade of the Phantom Master movie. Did we watch that or just talk about watching that?
We may have I don't even think we talked about it.
I think we've even done a podcast on it, you know.
Nah, we haven't. Blade of the Phantom. I don't think we've ever, I've never heard of it. Watch this, I'll have seen this.
Yes, we did a podcast on it.
Never. Me?
Yeah.
Me? I remember the dude's hair. But I feel like I remember... I don't think...
I remember nothing about it, much as I remember nothing about the first 3 episodes of Fairly Cutie Progressive.
Gosh.
He's the action animation director on Haikyuu, on a bunch of Haikyuu episodes.
Ah, well, that's it then. I love Haikyuu. TQ's garbage, Haikyuu's great. What was I going to say? In retro, I need to rewatch the first series. That's the top and bottom of this, what I've learned from the podcast. But I don't remember Nauta from series 1 being as, me being as into him as a character, like feeling he's a, was he that good of a character? As a lead character, that is, as good as Hidomi?
I don't know. I think more his circle was more interesting.
Yes, I think you're right. I think he's, the family stuff,
like his dad.
The dad, of course.
Idea of being attracted to his brother's girlfriend thing. That's...
All the stuff with, like, with Mamimi. I think... Yeah, because I think he's a bit more... He does a lot of, like screaming and stuff. Like, reacting to the things happening around him and being, like, emo. But it's this circle around him that makes everything way more, which I think makes him more effective as a character lead.
Whereas Hidomi doesn't have that circle, except from what you hear about. Like her interesting aspect comes from her backstory, I suppose.
Well, her reaction is to shut everything else out. Nota's reaction is to react to the insanity happening around him.
I did like her headphones and the gimmick with when she was overflowing and then it's like the dials on the side or like that was pretty cool.
I'm wearing a pair very similar right now. I'm not. God, I just remembered that doesn't the dad die in the first series and isn't there like a zombie?
Yeah,
that's insane. And to me, that feels more insane than probably what I initially thought after watching this. This kind of makes that seem more crazy. That's weird. The think. Oh gosh.
Also, there's, like we mentioned earlier, one of the benefits of the first one is that it introduces a lot of, like, wild and strange things, and then adds a sprinkle of lore onto them. Mm. So it allows you to just fill in the gaps in whatever way you care for, and it's easier to project on stuff. But like you guys were saying, with this one, because they get a bit too much into the lore, but then it instead they explain enough of the lore that actually comes frustrating that they don't explain the rest, that it ends up hurting it. Whereas, like, I think leaving some mystery and mystique and some question marks makes a lot of the things way more interesting.
Yeah.
Like, there's more for your imagination to work with. Whereas when they, like, half explain stuff or add, like, some exposition about a particular thing that doesn't really matter in terms of how the story works, it, I think it, instead it just ends up confusing things and detaching you from those events.
Yeah, I think particularly when you've only got the 6 episodes. I think if you're running for longer, then you can take your time and get into, like, how does this bureau work? Because we get more of the bureau here, and yet, like, more characters have got a role. Because I think there's only 2 in the first one, isn't it?
Yeah.
There's basically 4 in this one.
Hmm. Interesting. I've come away enjoying this, but also thinking that I liked the first series more than what I maybe did even 8 years ago. It somewhat highlighted the positives, but I don't know. I think I enjoyed this, obviously, definitely more than you two did, but a little more than I expected. Because I remember when this came out, I was like, oh, well, you know, I'll watch it at some point, maybe. And I don't think I would have watched this had we not done the podcast. So I'm very pleased that, not even really bit the bullet, but to decide to do it. We have to do an episode on Alternative as well.
Oh, yeah, I'm looking forward to watching Alternative, because, I say, it does look a lot better than this one did.
Yeah, I think even, like, the character designs are more interesting in Alternative. So I think it'll be a good conversation.
The other problem is, as I say, Diebuster makes a good Fooly Cooly too. Space Patrol Lugalico, kind of when that came out last year at the start of the year, was it even start of the year or was it end of 2017?
That's 2016, isn't it? Yes, 2016.
Is that right? Okay.
Yeah, I thought that was an old boy.
That felt like it would be preempted. The new Fooly Coolies.
See, I don't like that. I feel like that's got too much of the thing that I'm never that into. It's like too much crazy humor, and I never liked Space Patrol Lulico. And I remember when you guys go wild for it.
It also has Haruka's voice actress in it.
Ah.
As does the more recent Gridman. That also would kind of make a better Fooly Cooly 2 than Fooly Cooly 2 does.
Poor Fooly Cooly 2.
To the point where they draw, she plays, which character's mother she plays? She plays one of the main character's mothers. But they draw her like Haruko at various points.
Oh. Is she lecherous? Is she like...
She flirts with some weapons who take human forms.
Right. Okay.
At certain points. There's also the intimation that she's also the same character as she plays in Space Patrol Lulico. Because it's Trigger, and they seem to be doing the thing where all of the stuff they make is kind of taking place within the same multiverse, because they're terrible comic nerds. Which they can't quite get away with in Gridman, but they can, like, put hints of it that But yeah, maybe. Maybe if you want it to be, it is. But they can't ever officially tell you so, I don't think. Because obviously the Gridman character belongs to somebody else entirely. Yeah. I would recommend watching Gridman over Fooly Cooly.
Oh, I think I'm going to say Space Patrol Lulico. I was going to, well, you probably do as
Space
well.
Space Patrol Lulico is a harder sell. Space Patrol Lulico requires you to like Trigger. If you like everything Trigger have made that wasn't work for hire, then yes, you'll enjoy Space Patrol Lulico.
Bear in mind, Ninja Slayer, that comes into that batch, doesn't it?
No, that's work for hire.
Well, I don't like Ninja Slayer for a start. I didn't like, what was the cop dude called again?
Inferno Cop.
Inferno Cop. I didn't really like that all that much. And it's that aspect of what they do, I feel like, puts me off. And I think that's maybe why I like this, because it didn't have too much of that shit that I don't like.
Well, you see, that's what I feel's missing, because that is literally is what's missing from this movie.
But it had the scene with the theme park becoming a big robot.
Yeah,
and I was thinking, Brian's going to be loving that.
It's kind of a lackluster version of things I've seen done better elsewhere. That's the problem.
Mind you, speaking of that theme park, the scene where Marcus is on that Viking boat and it gets flipped upside down, that made me feel so uneasy. When it's like it swoops between
the gears.
Yeah. Because I'm very iffy with theme parks as it is. And that really spun my stomach around a little bit. Honestly, I was like, oh, I don't like this. I thought he was going to die. I thought he was going to get squashed or something.
I think that might be not the spinning round bit, but the bit when he gets flipped out when the bamboo starts shooting out of his head.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that is supposed to be a Time Bokan Yataman reference.
But I thought it was a Pokemon one with an executor.
No, but it's like the robot climbing up the bamboo. That image is a recurring image in Yataman and later Time Bokans. Normally it's a pig rather than a robot. But,
Speaking of the robot in this, there was never a point I was like, oh, that's a really cool robot.
Yeah, I think that is another
They always felt
issue.
A bit, oh, where's a blob thing?
So maybe her transformation at the end.
Yeah, that's pretty good, but I think is episode 2 of the first series where there's like that big one fighting and Candy comes like crushing down on it? That looks way better. That looks way better.
There's lots of really cool things in the first one, like when like the brain gun, like the brains come out the back of the gun, like, and that was a thing that was missing here. I mean, not a robot, but I did quite like Jinyu's her like car, her Chevrolet.
While it was a car or when it was transformed?
As a car, I didn't really care for it as a robot, but it was pretty cool as a car design, and it like sitting in the back and itself driving her around was pretty cool. apart from Hidomi's transformation, I can't even recall any specific designs. Like I remember the blobby one.
Which one? I feel like they were all. Honestly, I feel like they were all blobs.
That first one that's like lingers about after. Like I remember that one, and it's just they're not memorable or like they don't have their own style in any particularly cool way.
Haruko has a lot less like costume changes in this as well. Like, I remember in the first series, she was always, like, depending on what they were doing, she would have that as an outfit, for example. And I always liked that, actually.
Yeah, and they do, like, cool things with, like, the like, transitions between that as well.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that's probably a thing that got eaten, because it has the TV schedule.
But I do like the jacket that she wears in this. I think it looks cool. I would wear that jacket. I don't know if I would pull it off, but I would wear it for 5 minutes and decide I look silly, and then take it off.
Wear that with the headphones, and you're good.
Yeah, I'd need a little bracelet as well, you know, with the...
Oh, yeah.
Which I always like that when it, like, rattles. Like that's her goal, essentially. I think that's
a cool, like, visual cue. What did you think of the end where she absorbs Atomisk, but then it doesn't stick? And then Stitch has to basically hug the side of herself that she bored a couple of episodes before. I thought it was fitting, but when she's like, oh, I'm going to keep going after Atomus, it was kind of like, ugh, really? Get over it.
I don't think I've had enough time for it to kind of sink in that, actually. I think I'm fine with it. I like the idea she's just, you know, given into the fact that that's all she cares about, that's all she wants to do. But why? Obviously, did we find out an alternative? In fact,
well, I'm not going to tell you, but that element is something that I like in an alternative.
That could mean it's stripped away, or it could mean it's very prevalent. I don't know.
It's not prevalent, is all I'm going to say.
Oh, right. I missed the scene from the first series where, obviously, I wouldn't want it to just appear in this, but where Nauta hits the, like, the meteorite thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's one of my, like, that is a favourite of mine. I guess I should stop reminiscing about the first series.
I know what you mean. Because the arc of Hidomi's different.
Uh-huh.
So, with, like, Nauta, you had, like, the whole thing where... like swing, like do it, take the step, blah blah blah. Stop being hesitant. You got to take a step forward. You had a lot more sort of cool moments like that as a coming of age story, where like he steps up to the plate, and you as the episodes go on, I know you can feel him like grow, like you can feel the impact of the things around him having. The things around him are having an impact on him, and you can feel him growing from episode to episode, which is quite cool. Because it feels quite, in the small amount of time they have, it feels quite organic to get to where he is at the end of the episode six. Like even like the final scenes of episode six in the original series. Whereas with this, because there's so much going on and other characters are given loads of time, I don't feel we get that true moment with Hidomi. Instead, we just jump to sort of that resolution with her mum done by Kanti Skype. And then, that's it, really. So it kind of is a bit of a whimper to
I think that's a good observation. I like that. That's a good point. I mean, I think a lot of that could be down to the fact that she spends two episodes... not as herself.
Yeah.
That might impact. I mean, because I don't know what she gains as a person from not being her. Because I don't think she learns from it or anything. It's essentially not her for a little while.
Yeah.
I think if it's all him, beginning first.
It becomes Ide's story, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah. And don't get me wrong, I like his story. I like, because you see, he's got quite a sad situation that he lives in with, he goes to school every day and then he works really hard and he gets home helping his family.
There's Americans.
Yeah, I was scared. I found that quite scary. I was like, oh, I don't know why. I didn't expect him to get killed off or anything, but I just, that's a tough moment. I was like, oh, because initially I found quite dull. I didn't really care.
Yeah, when you're introduced to him, he's like the sugar-free version of one of Naota's friends, specifically, I think it's is it Musashi, the one who, or is it Gaku? There's one who just he almost shouts everything he says when they're talking about Naota like hooking up with Haruko, and like he keeps repeating words and stuff like that. And he felt like that right at the beginning when you got that cool first person shot, which I liked, first person like sequence of like
is that
shots
in the school?
Yeah, the school when you first meet him before we see his face. And he, like, he comes off, I was just like, I'm not in for it. Because I really like the dream sequence thing at the beginning. And then we meet these guys and I just thought, oh man, this isn't the same. But then I grew to like the characters a lot more over the course of the episodes.
Yeah, definitely. It's funny speaking of that dream sequence at the beginning, because I bolted so early out the gate, because I watched that first episode. I was tweeting, why aren't people talking about this? Because that opening scene in the episode, I was like, oh, this is going to be amazing. Amazing. And I still ended up enjoying it, but I think I was a little too quick to say that how amazing it was.
the song is great as well.
Oh my God, yes. I didn't know how much I needed to listen to The Pillows again until that came on. I was like, This is it. I didn't know I needed this, but I do.
It's going to be better than the original.
And I was going wild. And then I still came away really enjoying it, but a little less much.
So were these new songs or were they just old songs they dredged up?
I don't know about that one. What's that one called again? I know the...
Thank You, My Twilight is the opening one. The thing is, in the credits, it mentions a bunch, which makes you think that they just pulled some out of their old catalogue.
It's another one.
But I'm unsure.
Yeah, they were never a band who I investigated further than knowing they were the band on Fooly Cooly.
Yeah, I've only ever listened to their, like, Fooly Cooly stuff.
I think there's a song, well, there's a song called I Think I Can, and I'm sure that's in,
In the original.
Original, yeah. I think all the ones that were in the original, like, as soon as that came on, I was like, oh, that is a really good song. Whereas that, and I think the other, like the one from the beginning, is the main two that I really like. Can you get the original on Blu-ray cheap yet or not?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you can, because I've got it, so it must be cheap.
I've got it, yes.
Oh gosh.
I don't remember breaking the bank. I got it as a present, actually, so it definitely must be cheap, because no one's breaking the bank for me.
On Amazon, you can currently get the MVM release on Blu-ray for less than you can get the DVD release. £17.50.
Pretty good.
It's the Blu-ray. I think I got it for 15 quid at probably the last time I went to an MCM expo. It was probably one of those purchases where I was like, well, I'm here. I ought to make it worthwhile that I've entered this building.
Oh, you can get a Nauta Funko Pop.
Of course you can. I mean, you can get all of them.
I didn't know that. I didn't know it was that widespread of a... Didn't know they were going that far.
Get me a Conti Funko Pop.
I wonder if you can get one. Probably can't. Oh, there's a Haruko one. Oh, well.
Well, yeah, I suspect it's one of those things because of the Adult Swim connection that it's got a bigger audience for it in America than anywhere else. So you just got to... live with all the Funko Pops.
They're everywhere.
They're not biodegradable, so you're going to have to live with
them.
No,
I don't see it. Really? That's a scary thought.
We can stack them to dam the water as the sea level rises.
Tie them all together to fashion a raft, because they should float.
Yeah. They should.
I mean, I've never held one, so I assume they're hollow plastic, not solid plastic.
And they come out of the pack? I don't know if I've ever seen one out of the pack.
I was just looking to... Okay, yeah. Is there any Fooly Cooly stuff on Hobby Link Japan?
Oh, don't, because...
Here we go. In stock. There's only one thing in stock.
Is it a Kanti model?
It's a smartphone case.
Don't care. I always go... I've got an Apple phone. I always go Apple cases. So, sorry.
Yeah,
some
I
jackets
just...
and stuff, though.
Yes, there was out of stock.
Oh, is it? Oh, yeah.
Yes, you could have had training jackets with Haruko on.
Cool.
Yeah, hasn't damaged my love of the original.
Good.
Yeah, but... which is a fear, because while it's true, the adage that the new thing doesn't hurt the old thing, there is an element where subsequent releases can at least dilute the impact, especially ones that are direct sequels, because then a lot of those questions you had in your mind of like, what happened next, and doesn't exist. But once it's given a canon reason, and often the canon reason's not as good as the various reason, theories and thoughts other people have come up, then you end up, it does end up weakening the impact of the original a bit.
Yeah. Evangelion 3.0, you cannot redo. It would be my example of that.
When's that coming on? Not that one particular, but when's Evangelion coming on Netflix? That's going to be
July.
Like a pencil in a date for us to do a podcast about it, like a couple of months or a month. Probably a month. I should probably move it to 2 months afterwards, as it gets closer. I'm like, do I really want to sit down and watch you?
See, I hope I come away loving it. I like the original. I like it, but I really want to love it, because it's 26 episodes is a big investment to just feel exactly the same as what I did.
Apparently, it's June 21st.
Oh, that's soon. Oh, that's the same day the new series of Dark comes out as well. Cool. Two
weeks, isn't it?
Yeah, 2 weeks Friday.
I'm not ready for the discourse.
It's going to happen all over again.
Everywhere.
Everyone discovering Evangelion for the first time.
We're going to be gatekeepers. We're going to be
yeah.
I was going to say.
You've not seen it. I don't want to hear about you not seeing it.
The problem's not going to be the people discovering it for the first time. It's the people who've been keeping it in their hearts.
People watch it when I watched it.
23 years. Those are the people who are going to be the problem.
I don't like to think about that.
It's a long time since I've seen any of the TV. It'd be like whenever the last two episodes came out on VHS would have been the last time I've seen any Evangelion TV.
That's a long, long time ago.
Yeah. I've watched some of the new movies too many times because they were different film festivals. And I've seen End of Evangelion a handful of times as well.
Oh, I've watched that a fair few.
And obviously certain segments of it lots and lots of times, but edited with Transformers and G.I. Joe characters inserted into it. So that's the other problem. Will I be able to watch Evangelion ever again? Without having ruined it for myself. yeah, so that'll be fun. That will be fun. Just imagine all the articles people are gonna
all the hot
grind
takes.
Out.
Yes.
Imagine the podcast. Oh, hang on. Let's not climb up too far onto this high horse. anything else to add about Fooly Cooly Progressive?
It's on Crunchyroll. I feel like there's no excuse not to have a Crunchyroll account now.
Unless they're shorter than normal episodes.
They are.
Of anime because they're made for American TV.
Yeah. Quick and easy. I would say definitely watch it.
I would say don't watch it, watch Gridman instead. That's also on Crunchyroll, and it's better than this.
I'd say definitely make sure you don't watch Space Patrol Lulacore.
Well, I would say if what you liked out of the original Fooly Cooly was all the Imayashi energy of the episodes he storyboarded, that's gone. That's not here at all. If you're missing that, then you need to go to Trigger. And,
whatever their tripe spitting out is.
Well, yeah, if you'd like, let's say Lulaco has the added bonus of it reminds you of Fooly Cooly, but it also has stuff out of Kill la Kill in it, stuff from Little Witch Academia, and Inferno Cop shows up.
See, it's all those bits in Kill la Kill I was never big on either. So I think I'm fine with it in Fooly Cooly, and I feel like that's, I've had my fill from that. You know what I like. You know I don't like fun stuff. At least Gridman looks a bit serious. Please tell me it's serious.
Yeah, I think you'll really like Gridman.
I mean, that the armor, I remember that poster that they originally released, and I was like, fuck, that looks epic. So if it...
No, I think Gridman is right up your street, I think.
Good.
Despite it being from the creator of Inferno Cop and the director of Ninja Slayer.
Oh, Ninja Slayer. I was hyped for Ninja Slayer as well, because I wanted it to be the thing they were kind of pretending it was. Is that the right yes. way to be? I don't know if that's
the right word. That's the right way to be, yes. Because the entire thing is on the pretense of it being not what it appears to be.
Oh, it's terrible.
Because the comics are Japanese people pretending to be American. I mean, the books, rather. The books are Japanese people pretending, writing as if they were Americans writing about Japanese culture.
Oh, yeah. And some of the promo artwork is like, oh, this looks great.
Yeah, you probably want the manga is what you're after. Which I think was reduced like recently on Comixology. I don't know if it still is.
The manga artwork is exactly what I want. I didn't know it was on Comixology, though. That's,
Yeah, it was part of the Kodansha Battle Manga sale, but that sale may have finished.
Ninja Slayer. Is there a wish list of Comixology? I forget.
Yes, there is.
Oh, well. Is there a game this week? It's still on sale. Super cheap. $3.99 instead of £7.49 for volume.
I have not written a game this week, unfortunately. The problem with these tablets, mate. If I've got to take them before 8 o'clock, and then I'm very tired. So my work days are kind of work, then eat, then fall asleep.
Terrible.
Yeah.
Can we watch E3 tonight?
Anything else? No.
I will be.
Why would I bother?
I don't know.
What would you think I'd be getting out of it?
There might be like a big Red Dead Redemption thing.
But, I mean, what is the advantage of hearing about
it? Well, because it's not going to be the same hearing about it tomorrow. It's like when the World Cup's on and you watch it live or you don't watch it at all.
Is that a sport?
It will be.
And people announcing things they want your money for.
Well, they can have my money.
It's like the weirdos who are like getting excited that Endgame might overtake Avatar in the amount of money it takes at the box office. Like, what the fuck investment have you got in that?
These are the people who've been to see it like 6 times.
Yeah, trying to help
Disney.
I've got to
make it hit that number. We're going to do it, guys.
Cheering on the team.
The Russos send them a care package if they get it.
I've no idea why you'd be excited.
Oh, there's a new From Software game going to be on tonight. Hopefully.
Yeah, but you'll hear about it in the morning.
But I want to see that live. I don't want to hear someone else's opinion, like a link that says the new From Software game looks pretty good and then a trailer. I want to decide if it looks pretty good. I don't need their hot
George R.R. Martin's Armored Core.
Oh, that would be amazing. I know it's not that. I know there's like synopsis leaks and stuff, but imagine. George R.R. Martin's anything. George R.R. Martin's Fooly Cooly.
Bringing up From Software doing like an Armored Souls game the other day, you were all negative on it.
But imagine George R.R. Martin. Imagine like the
That's
the
in
politics.
Reference to the game. When we first heard the rumour, you were like, no mechs at all.
No, we knew it wasn't at that point.
Yeah, but you were such a naysayer. Now you're all like, yeah, George R.R. Martin, mech suit.
He can do what he wants. He could do EastEnders, and it would be great. Imagine that.
I mean, you never even read Wild Cards, have you?
Of course I have! It's about, oh yes, the card player. Tell you what, there's some epic cover art for it. Some dude with a giant hammer. Yeah, that looks pretty good. No, I've not.
That's his shared universe superhero.
Hmm. You're books. A fan, or have you not?
I've never read page one of it, but I am aware that it exists. Right. So I'm surprised nobody's adapted it, but I'm guessing probably the shared universe thing might be the thing which makes it more difficult to convert from out of prose into any other form. Because they'd probably have to go ask every single author involved.
That'd be interesting, wouldn't it? Hmm. But we worked on first?
I've no idea. Oh,
I thought you were a Railroad Martin fan.
No. Railroad Marty. Is that what you call it because of his hat?
No, I remember you called him that once and I liked it.
Did I? Okay, I forgot about that. Well done, Past Brian. You're quite the wit.
And I always call him it now. And I know it's not his real name, but I like it.
Why am I laughing at something which is new to me, which apparently I said?
I'm sure you tweeted about it. I'm sure you made a big tweet. Not like a big tweet, not like an announcement tweet, but...
I'm sure it's not a retweet I've done of something.
No, it was definitely you. I'm going to Google Railroad Martin.
I'm seeing other people calling him Railroad Martin, so I can't believe it was me.
Unless it was a Tom Sharpland thing.
It might be. That sounds like it might have been a John Worcester character, thinking that was what his name was.
Anyway.
So I was explaining that to my mother the other day.
What, that Railroad Martin's not...
No, the malapropisms, like him asking for a... when he says hamburger.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. They're called hamburgers because you hold them in your hand. And I've been to burger places and asked for a hamburger just to see if anyone will correct me. They never do.
They do?
No, they never do.
Said they do every single time. We don't sell hamburgers, idiot.
Okie doke. Yeah, so no game. Just me laughing at jokes, apparently, I've told before. So, you can't buy this, but you can watch it on Crunchyroll.
How come?
I assume eventually it will come out on Blu-ray.
Yeah, what's the... So, there was a dub done, I assume, by Adult Swim.
Yes.
But that...
Yeah, that was the thing which got released first.
Okay. Well, yeah, I guess it would have been on TV, yeah. But then Crunchyroll doesn't have the dub.
No.
Purists on there, Leon.
Yeah.
I'm guessing that's probably streaming on Adult Swim.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
Kiss Anime probably has the dub.
Indeed, it does. When I click, it tells me I'm blocked because I'm in a different country. Not allowed to watch it. Sometimes on those, I think you have to like put in your cable provider as well. So if you do
HBO's like,
yeah, if you put the VPN on, you still can't.
What your cable provider's what?
You have details. I can't know what exactly.
It's annoying.
Sounds annoying.
Yeah, for those companies where even though they've got a cordless alternative like HBO Go and now. I think it's HBO Now is the cordless one, is they still want you to prove that you have a subscription to premium cable. So even if you, like Brian was saying, even if you use a VPN, then you've got another hurdle to climb.
Madness.
Anything you want to plug, Leo?
Just Ace Comicals, which is our comic book podcast that comes out bi-weekly. Check it out on acecomicals.com or hit up the Twitter, which is at acecomicals, and that will give you all the updates and tweets about various different things, as well as the release of different episodes. And also follow me on Twitter at Leon Everett.
Anthony.
Best place for me is probably Twitter and Twitch. Which is just Ant Askew. Go watch me play Zelda, Breath of the Wild.
Yes. Maybe one day he'll get back to the story.
don't think so.
There's like two sessions in a row and it's been promising. Go to the story this time and then it's an awful long walk to the story.
It's too addictive, and then you see something in the your vision and you think, ooh, what's going on over there? It's great.
Distracted by bright, shiny objects.
I am.
And yeah, you can find me on Twitter at awesome_engine. And as far as I know, I'm bringing stuff at Habanacon. I will have to chase them because I'm pretty sure the person who's supposed to get into contact with me hasn't. so I may have to do some chasing this week. But yeah, that's in Milton Keynes, second weekend of November.
Oh, the same weekend Death Stranding comes out.
Is that right?
Yeah, it's frickin' right. Bastards.
You'll just have to manage without it.
Habanacon, yeah,
delayed
you're right.
Gratification.
You have to manage without Habanacon.
Just bring your console and play it in the hotel.
I'll tell you what, I'll be hiding from the internet until I get home and play the game.
I'm sure Gary has mentioned it on the podcast, the whichever con it was where he brought a console and a TV.
Oh, we've seen a few people do it.
Someone did it for Red Dead last year.
Oh, no, that's fine. That was when TVs were... this wasn't when TVs were easy to bring.
What was Gary doing it for? Jet Set Radio or something?
I can't remember. I think it was like... I think it was the 2005 Fire, maybe.
What? That's... God. It baffled me. Like, when the guy we saw do it last year for Red Dead, mad. I didn't want to tell you, Brian, in case you'd be running up the stairs to, I don't know, load your character.
Pass the pad.
Yeah, my turn.
You'll just have to watch that Cookie Monster Tom Hiddleston video on repeat to learn about delayed gratification.
What's Cookie Monster Hiddleston?
There was a video from alarmingly amount of years ago now, where I just stuck in my mind, it was Cookie Monster learns about delayed gratification from Tom Hiddleston.
Right.
He's explaining to Cookie Monster, if you don't eat this cookie now, you can eat it later.
Oh, right, okay, yeah.
So you'll have to teach yourself that before Death Stranding.
Oh man, I want it now! Damn. But yeah, I'll be at Habanacon. Leon will be at Habanacon.
I will.
Be a good weekend, provided there's no Death Stranding talk.
Well, yeah, it's like I'm missing another con to go to, HabanaCon. It was Thought Bubble.
Oh, comic. Oh,
yeah. Thought Bubble moved to November, which is annoying.
Is Pizza Hat attending?
I don't know.
The hat is, but the person in the
name. Yeah. He's sending someone else wearing the hat, an envoy.
Well, judging by Anthony's cowboy picture earlier this week, Anthony could go in his place.
Oh, it's funny. Because I kind of see it. It's funny because it changes the shape of my face.
It's the particular angle and the particular angle of one photo of Greg.
I actually used another filter with me with a cap on backwards. It looks just like Greg. So I can never be a cap person. Because I'll be mistaken for Greg.
Yeah, we'll confuse you.
What hat are you going to go for then when your hair starts falling out? You need something to catch
in. Bald cap. So then people will see you wearing a bald cap and think, oh, he's just wearing a bald cap. He's probably got loads of hair underneath. And I'll fool them.
I think you should leave, isn't it, as a sketch? Is it like a thing where you could like buy successively balder?
Yes, so then people don't...
To put on.
It's not like a big shock.
Yeah. A special service, if you've got to do it quicker, where they send a man dressed as a gorilla to rip your scalp
off. Yeah.
Righty-ho, that is Dynamite in the Brain finished for another week. If you liked it, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, or your podcast aggregator of choice. If you would like to hear more of my voice, but with two different people's voices surrounding it... Then also subscribe to the podcast Let's Go JoJo, where me, Dwayne, and Niall talk about JoJo's Bizarre Adventure each week for at least 3 more weeks, and all the other anime we've watched. Next week on the show, I don't know. Goodbye.
Bye.
See you later.
Your life's gone down the drain. Your body's wrecked with pain. There's just one thing to blame. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain.